Welcome to Whack Brackets, the podcast that is suddenly having all kinds of technical difficulties, so please stand by. But the good news is that we do have a couple of guys on here who are letting me struggle through and being very polite about it. They are Agent Cam and Agent Scott from the Spy Hards podcast, and today we are going to bracket off Star Trek characters. But before we do, I will let them introduce said podcast, and we're going to start with Cam because, as we found out a few minutes ago on audio that may not be usable, is that Cam actually runs a Star Trek podcast.
Yeah, that's right. Scott and I are both from the Spy Hards podcast, where we tackle spy films every week. But yeah, I also, on the side, do a Star Trek podcast called Subspace Transmissions, where Scott has guested before, and we tackle new Star Trek episodes, whatever the latest show on the air is, like Discovery, Picard, Lower Decks, or we dive into the vast canon of Star Trek to come up with, you know, wacky topics for episodes, like, you know, best musical moments, best WTF moments, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I actually am the third host of Subspace Transmissions, but Cam edits me out every week, so...
That's true. That is very true.
Yeah. I've actually been on two podcasts where they didn't release the episode, and both of them said, oh, we had technical difficulties, but I'm not sure I believe that's true.
Oh, wow. And we should add, of course, that Scott and I, before we really dove down the spy well, met at a Star Trek convention back in 2013 in Las Vegas. Scott, it was a magical moment, am I right?
It was glorious. You were dangling from the ceiling from a suspended cable trying to reach a computer, and I was walking through the middle of the vendor's room in a suit with a martini, and we just saw each other, and that was it, really.
That's right.
Yeah, I think that's how Kid and Went met, except I think it was like from a sex swing or something and not dangling from a roof, but here they were there. That was from our last episode, bracketing off Bond villains. Check them out on that episode. But if you guys are ready, I'm going to explain Whack Brackets, and then we'll get into it.
Yeah, let's go. Beam us up. All right.
Make it so.
Whack Brackets is asking the burning questions you never knew you wanted answered. Until we ask them, we bring on fellow podcasters such as Agent Cam and Agent Scott, and we bracket off similar contestants using irrelevant, ever-changing questions. And if you guys are ready, we'll go. First question being, again, Star Trek characters bracket. Which one of these two do you think is or would be the better dancer? Would it be Spock, or would it be Data?
I have some suggestions for this one. I think based on the episode, I think it's Data's day. Am I right, Cam?
Yeah. I think I know where you're going.
We've seen Brent Spiner as Data really shuffle his moves around. You know, he's a good dancer, and because, you know, he likes to emulate people, so he's obviously seen other people dance. He hasn't really got that intuition, though, that's the problem. So he couldn't really make up a dance in the moment. But if he was given, like, a you need to learn the waltz for next week, he could master the waltz.
Let me ask you this, Cam, before you talk, because you are the Star Trek expert, and I want to see if I actually know a little bit about Star Trek. You can correct me if I'm wrong. When he actually took the – when he started the dance lessons, was he already in planning with the emotion ship by then?
No, they brought it. I think, Scott, had they brought it up on the show at that point? I don't think so. That's later on.
Okay.
Isn't it?
I can't remember.
Well, Brothers is the first time we see it. Is that right?
Yeah.
And that's season 4.
Yeah. And Data's Day is also in season 4.
Huh?
I can't remember the order.
There could be a convergence, but he doesn't have the chip at that point.
No.
Oh, okay. I got you.
No.
So now you can go. Sorry to interrupt. I was just.
Yeah. The thing is, like, there's in that episode, Data's Day, we see Data getting dancing lessons from Dr. Crusher. And we can see that Data could be an amazing dancer. But one thing with Data is, when they've talked about him in the past, learning music, for example, is that he can replicate everything he sees or hears, but he doesn't, he kind of knows the notes, but not the music, right? Like, mm-hmm. He doesn't have the feel for it. Whereas, like, Spock technically probably isn't as good a dancer as Data. Data's going to hit every single, you know, Fred Astaire-like mark. But the feeling, I think, might come more from Spock. You know, I think of some of those episodes where he gets, like, possessed. Like, for example, like, I don't know, Plato's Stepchildren or something. Maybe Spock does have the moves. He has, you know, that sort of Vulcan spirituality. It's very graceful. It's not the type of dancing that when you display it on screen, we're going to be wowed by. Like, Data's going to be doing backflips off the walls. Mm-hmm. But maybe there's more soul to what Spock is doing.
But I will throw the question back at you, O King of Whack Brackets. Because, you know, you see, it depends on what type of dance you're asking about.
Yeah.
Because if we're talking about something like a rumba, which is like a standing up, having sex, basically, it's two people just mashing into each other, and we're talking about the Vulcan heart and the fury that they've got in there, I mean, I think Spock's your man. But if we're talking about a waltz, like I said, or something a bit more timed and precise, then Data's your guy.
All right. Well, fair enough. I will say this, and I will answer, then I will let you guys decide on your finals here, is it can be whichever you want to take. That is the good thing about whack brackets. It is generally open-ended. We've been even known to change the question mid-question because we don't have an agenda. So, yeah, if you guys want to feel one way about the dance, you want to feel the other way about the dance, if you want to talk about the bedside shuffle or whatever the hell, I don't care. So all that said is, as far as who I have, I've actually seen an episode, if I recall, too, where Spock danced. Mm-hmm. Like, he and Kirk were both possessed or something. They had, like, a helmet on, and then at the end he's dancing around Kirk's head or something, and Kirk starts licking his hands like a cat, I think. It was, like, this really – it was, like, a fever dream episode. I don't know what the hell was going on, but it was – freaked me out. And at least in that episode, Spock didn't impress me that much. Data – by not having the emotion shift, the thing I'll say is that Data actually seemed to show a passion for learning how to dance. And Dr. Crusher was the one that was leading the dance, I think? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he seemed, even though she had to leave, he like got a hologram and continued learning. So I think he seems to have some sort of inherent passion where, to me, Spock would be like, this is a worthless task done by stupid individuals. I find it completely worthless. So I think that even – I do think Spock may have the passion, but usually he's just – I think he would look up on dancing as being beneath him. So that's at least my opinion. So I'm going to go with Data.
I also think we're overselling ourselves as dance critics who would recognize
– You're not wrong.
Who would recognize the soulful dancing versus the technically proficient dancing. Like, I feel like if you display, you know, Data doing, like, Gene Kelly singing in the rain routines or the Donald O'Connor dance number, Make 'em Laugh, I would just be blown away. Like, I feel like I don't have the insight to recognize maybe the heart that would come more from a Spock versus a Data who's going to be, like, as I said, doing backflips off the walls and spinning around like a dervish. So I feel like for a simpleton like myself, Data's going to be the better dancer.
How dare you say that on behalf of me? I spend my entire free time watching reruns of Dancing with the Stars.
You keep trying out, but they keep telling you you're not a star.
And I can't dance.
A lot of those guys can't. Don't feel too bad. So what do we have? We have, sounds like, two Datas and Scott. Or are you going Data? Or, I guess at this point, if we both go Data, you're defeated anyway.
I'm gonna take my shot, as the song goes. I'm actually going to go for Spock, because if the question was who would I actually want to see dance, I would actually rather see Spock dance, because whilst it might not be precise, it would be heartfelt, I would say.
I'm still going Data, and Cam? Data. Spock? All right.
Yeah, I'll take Data.
We're going to go with Data then. So Data advances to the next round, and this could end up with two of the Next Generation, or it may end up with an original versus the Next Generation, which was... would be a great bracket in and of itself to pit the two shows against one another. But we have, of course, Jean-Luc Picard versus Captain Kirk. Who is more likely to eat pizza with pineapple on it? Agent Scott.
Well, as a British man, thank you for asking me first. I'm going to represent my fellow British man, Sir Patrick Stewart. He would be the one, JLP, Jean-Luc Picard, who would definitely have pineapple on a pizza. Because, frankly, he's a little bit quirky. He's the kind of guy who likes to sit around reading Shakespeare. And, you know, he has photo albums in the 24th century. Cries over them often. So, yeah, I think he's the kind of guy that's going to order the pineapple pizza. And be the one at the party that gets the whole pizza to himself. Because no one else is touching that thing.
Cam?
Yeah. I think the thing about Kirk is, and like, Kirk is my favorite Star Trek captain, I'll just say that up front, but with Kirk, the way he's represented, especially on the 60s show, which is what I really love him for, he's represented as like this all-American kind of hero. And I feel like that's not the guy who's going to be having pineapple on his pizza. I feel like Picard has, you know, he's a Frenchman with a British accent. You know, he's open to all of the experiences around him. Whereas I feel like Kirk, I could see him just eating steak or something. You know what I mean? Like, Kirk strikes me as a little square when it comes to meal options. I'm trying to even think of many moments in Star Trek where we saw Kirk eating these, like, really adventurous meals. Usually they were just eating, like, squares, like, colored squares on the original series.
Maybe they were pineapple.
Yeah, I guess there's the Klingon dinner in Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, but there's not a lot. He feels like the type of captain to me, if he beams down to San Francisco, you know, as he does in Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, he's happy to have a hot dog, which is totally basic, right? Just like, hot dog, there you go. Whereas Picard, he wants some variety, and I think that's where pineapple comes in. Yeah. I think pineapple screams variety, and you throw that on a pizza, and I think Picard, you're getting that slight raised eyebrow, which is a very passionate response from one Captain Picard.
Yeah. I think this is actually going to be a clean sweep, because the thing with Kirk, as has been hinted at, is he is quote-unquote all-American in at least the way he's portrayed. He's definitely getting a pizza that has as many meats as possible. He's getting the prosciutto, the bacon, the beef, the sausage. He'll throw a lamb shank on there if he thinks he can get away with it. He's going to clog as many arteries as humanly possible. Americans in general love to eat their fatty meats. Kirk embodies what an American loves to do for some odd reason. And I think that that's what he's doing. Now, Picard, and you may be able to correct me if I'm wrong here, but of course, I do think he's a little more eccentric. So even the point I'm about ready to make aside, I think he would be more likely. But if I recall, in the Next Generation, haven't they stopped hunting for the most part? It sounded like in like harvesting animals for food.
It's never explicitly said. Okay. But they throw off a line. I think Riker says something about eating meat's a bit antiquated or something like that, Cam. Any memories
there? Yeah, I do remember that. I mean, they used the replicator.
Yeah.
So, like, what does that even mean, right? If you could just replicate steak.
Yeah.
Is it really – you're obviously not going to be hunting or, you know, harvesting animals for food. So I don't even know really what a Star Trek vegetarian is. So, you know.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, so, if you can make fake food, if you can resequence proteins, as they like to throw around, and make any food you like, but it's obviously just coming out of molecules in the air and you're not having to kill an animal, I'd gladly stop eating actual meat and eat the replicator pizzas any day. Not a problem with me. I've become is it a real vegan, though?
I have no idea what it is. Maybe it's an entirely new title, because, you know, the term vegan didn't exist in, like, the, you know, the year 1900.
Yeah.
So maybe in the Star Trek future, if you're like, just eat replicated food, there's a term for that. I don't know.
If they can replicate the meat, and he may enjoy meat on his pizza, but if they don't eat meat, which we're not 100% sure, we think they may, but it's probably replicated. Even if they don't eat meat, obviously you need flavors for your pizza, and pineapple's going to give you more of a flavor. Meat generally, except for like a spicy sausage, etc., it's really, you know, it takes on the flavor of how you cook it. And if you cook it too much, it's flavorless. And so, yeah, I think Picard's definitely more of a flavor type person, where Spock is definitely more of a all you can eat buffet. He's going to like Sweet CC's or one of those shitty pizza places and just getting whatever pizza. Picard's asking them to make the pizza that he wants.
I mean, Picard's going to like a sourdough pizza restaurant with like a big pizza oven at the back, and you'll get
you have to
cut it yourself. One of fancy pants places like that. Whereas you know that Captain Kirk is going to Domino's Pizza.
Exactly.
He's getting two large meat feasts, and that's it. And maybe some beers and an ice cream. Done.
Yeah, that is the Kirk way.
The Kirk way. So that being said, we are not going to bracket off any of the original Star Trek cast in this final question, but that's okay, because we are going to bracket off Jean-Luc Picard versus Data. Question being, more likely to be a big fan of golf. Cam, what do you think?
This is actually one of the most difficult brackets we've done, because either answer would be entirely believable to me. You know, golf, and I am someone who does play golf, it's a game of patience that will drive you insane. And I think there's so much precision, so much attention to detail, that either of these characters I could see focusing on this. I'm going to say, though, for my answer, I'm going to go with Data, because I think Data, one of his big obsessions is to try to understand sort of the truth of it versus just the basic programming of a situation. So with golf, he would look at the you know, the clubs and be like, well, if I hit the 7-iron here, it's going to go yay amount of distance and land there. But it's those little things, you know, the wind, the way your wrist is facing, you know, when you hit it, just, you know, that slight micro turn of the wrist or something can have a huge impact. So I think Data would look at golf as like the ultimate test of mathematics, and one that often seems to defy mathematics. No matter how focused you are, it all goes to hell. So I honestly think Data would be fascinated by golf.
This is actually, I agree with Cam, a really tough one, because you could definitely see JLP walking around with one of those little flat caps on, walking around the golf club with his shiny white shoes, driving around exactly. The little car, you know, probably has Wesley as his bag boy following him. But yeah, I think overall it's got to go to Data. I could just see him in like that All Good Things future where he's got that sort of salt and pepper bit with the gray in his hair. Yeah, just when he's teaching at Harvard, just taking afternoons off to play all 18 holes, just to see how well he can play it.
Yeah, I think I'm going to agree with both of you. I was kind of hoping that Kirk would make it to the next round because Kirk, especially, he kind of comes off as that hacker slasher weekend warrior golfer that loves the fucking game, even though he's terrible at it. He's going to fucking bang his clubs around and get all pissy, but he's going to go back the next week. Whereas Picard gives me the impression he might do it on a business trip where I'm not sure that he has that passion for it. I think he would look good doing it because he, like you said, the flat cap, wearing some of those crazy pants. I think that he would, of all of these characters, I think he looks better in a golf outfit. But at the same time, Data, he would really be out to perfect his game. Like Cam was saying, you know, he loves multiple variables. He loves the math behind things. And there's an exact, inexact math to golf because there are so many elements where the one variable affects the entire shot. Mm-hmm. And even just the slightest miscalculation, just that would be the interesting thing with Data. Would we see him frustrated because all his calculations, what he thought was correct, and yet he was off some 1/100th of a decimal place or 1/1000th of a decimal place, and the ball went slicing and he had to fight an alligator to get his ball back? I don't know. It would be interesting to see, but it's something I would pay to see. I think I would really enjoy seeing Data try to decipher and dissect the game of golf, where I think Picard would play it. He'd have fun with it. I don't think it would frustrate him, though. I think he'd be like, all right, I'm just out here playing golf, hacking away, but I'm not going to let it consume me. I could see this being a time-consuming thing for Data to try to perfect, so I think he would be a bigger fan.
I feel like Picard would be... Sorry, Cam. Picard would be the country club golfer. He has a membership.
Yeah.
He goes and sees his friends. He's hanging out, drinking wine, Chateau Picard. And then they go and play a couple of holes. And no one really cares about the score because they're all a bit merry by this point anyway. But Data's playing by himself when the club opens at 6 in the morning. No one's watching him. He's doing it so he can beat his own score.
Yeah, I agree.
Just like Cam.
Exactly. I just keep getting worse scores every time. But yeah, the couple of things. Number one, like, I think the TNG writers would have loved to have had Data in golf clothing. I just think that's something they would have loved, and I'm sure is a missed opportunity. Definitely. If they're hearing this. But second of all, with just in terms of Picard, a lot of the Star Trek captains have an obsession with a sport. Sisko on DS9 loved baseball. Jonathan Archer on Enterprise loved water polo. Did, like, Picard ever show any interest in any sport? I'm trying to remember. His big thing was like literature, archaeology. I don't recall him ever talking about any sort of sport.
Got me.
He's more of a bodybuilder, I'd say, by the time First Contact comes around.
Well, that's the good point there. Yeah, he looks like hitting the gym. But I feel like Data is someone who would have that curiosity about sports because while there's no great example to draw upon, he's just someone who's naturally curious. Whereas I feel like Picard, he's a little set in his ways, and we've seen throughout, you know, 7 seasons of the show, plus 4 movies, plus another season of Picard, that he doesn't seem drawn to sports. And at his age, I don't know that he's going to bend now.
Also, like, Data is not going to play a team sport.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because he'll break everyone's necks accidentally. He's insanely strong. So golf is the perfect thing to play by yourself.
Yeah.
As Cam often does.
Nothing wrong with that.
I'm being mean again. I don't know why.
I bring that out in people. I apologize. That's why I bring people on, to get them into arguments against one another. My goal is to split up fellow podcast duos. So I bring them on here. I try to get them upset at each other. And
I'm going to branch off into Spy Hard podcast. Singular, not plural.
You're going to have two separate Spy Hard podcasts.
Yeah.
Kind of like a, when you'll see that with a band where they split off and then there's two variants of the same band. And then it's like, you know, one of them has like one letter change. And you're like, which one's which? That's where we're leading at with the Spy Hard 1 and 2 podcast. And I apologize. But the good thing is before that happened, I was able to get them on when they were still a duo, when they were still the Spy Hards team, when they were still known as Agent Cam and Agent Scott. Not to be confused with Agent J and Agent K, who apparently they hate Men in Black too, we've learned. But that being said, I will let Agent Cam and Agent Scott from the Spy Hards podcast talk about their podcast before we leave. Again, if I didn't say Data wins, I'm not even sure I said that. But Data's going to win this whack bracket. So thank you guys again for being on, and I will let you guys explain your podcast or tell people how to reach you out on the social medias on your way out.
You can find us at SpyHards, that's SpyHards, on basically everything, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, any podcast app you can think of, we're basically there. We have episodes every Tuesday, and listen up because we've got some good films coming up.
We're working through franchises, so, you know, we like to alternate between, as you said, you know, Men in Black. We have been working through Men in Blacks. We work through James Bonds. But we also like to touch on standalone movies that kind of fall across the spectrum. We've got some stuff from the 1930s coming up, some old Hitchcock movies. We've also worked right up into the modern day. I'm sure at some point we'll get to, example, you know, Red Sparrow with Jennifer Lawrence or Rhythm Section with Blake Lively. You know, movies that have only come out, you know, fairly recently.
And not to mention everyone's favorite, Cloak and Dagger.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
The old Daphne Coleman film. For some reason, everyone loves that film.
Yep, we like to go obscure, for sure.
You know, obscurity is where it's at. That's the thing. Is everybody puts out a podcast that has like the same movies, but if you give them something a little different, spice of life, like pineapple on a pizza, as Picard would say.
Mm. Well, I'm glad we could have this mind meld today and then agree in the end.
Yeah, it happens. Sometimes people make a good argument, and you know, I'm pretty easy to persuade as long as a good argument's had. Sometimes I'm just like Scott's feeling towards Cam today. Sometimes I'm just feeling like an asshole, and I'm just going to disagree with everything. So it just depends on what mood I'm in.
Well, we have to debate every week if a film makes the knock list. So between me and Cam, we have to agree on something. And so we are often debating each other. And that's why we edit our podcast down, because otherwise it'd be 4 hours of me shouting at him.
Pretty much, yeah. But yeah, thanks for having us on. It really got my positronic brain, you know, going.
Well, this has been a lot of fun. I love having on different podcasters, especially from different genres. And this is definitely the spy genre. I would have never probably thought to do a Bond villain one. I think there was a Bond villain question, but I wouldn't have thought to do a whole Bond villain podcast. That was fun. And then Star Trek, I was glad that I found something else you guys are better at me than, which is probably a lot of things. But between spy movies and Star Trek, it's always good to be informed. And I had a great time learning new things and meeting a couple of awesome guys and great podcasters. With that said, you can reach me on the social media platforms at Whack Brackets, just about anywhere, Instagram, Twitter. Send me an email at datadoesgolf@whackbrackets.com, and I will get that because I will get anything at whackbrackets.com. Finally, you can send it to Captain Kirk Loves Meaty Greasy Ass Pizza at whackbrackets.com. I'll get that as well. But again, thank you, Agent Cam and Agent Scott, again, from the Spy Hards podcast. And we are out of here, and I'll let you say goodbye on the way out. See ya.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us, and we'll see you next time.